We're so glad that you're here with us, and we're so excited about learning about being formed, and the formation that happens without us even knowing that we're being formed. And most of that, you guys are becoming, you're not just existing, you're becoming. You're becoming something. And if you just leave it to its own, it won't be something good. You could accidentally, because part of it's based on your environment. So if you're in a good environment, you could glean some of that. And, you know, some of it's your habits. If you were around someone that helped you develop really good habits. So it could be neutral-ish. But for certain, nobody wakes up one day and you're like, I am a saint like Mother Teresa. I am selfless. Like, you ever just... John Mark, I was listening to him. I've quoted him a bunch, and he kind of said this. So I put it on a slide. This is him saying this, but he said one day you just kind of wake up and realize, oh, this is the kind of mom I am. This is, you just like, you have this introspective moment. One day you just kind of wake up like, whoa, I'm that kind of dad, or whoa, I'm that kind of friend. And maybe it's really good, maybe it's not so good, or I'm that kind of worker or boss or husband or wife. Or that's the kind of person that I've become, right? And we don't just become like Jesus automatically. You don't just, well, hey, you know, I believe in God. All right. And then 30 years later, tell you what, it's still going to be pretty ugly unless we're intentionally becoming like Jesus, because you're unintentionally becoming like everything else. And I don't care how strong-willed you are, or nobody influences me. Wrong answer. You're just fooling yourself. We're all influenced by the things that we do, by the world around us, and at the very least by Satan and the world in your flesh. Like, and that just doesn't lead to a great place. You don't end up getting more loving and more gentle and more godly just by accident. And so we have to be intentional. You have to do it on purpose. Tell someone, on purpose. On purpose. You got to do it on purpose. And so we were talking about what it means to be an apprentice over the last, the Bible doesn't use the word apprentice. The Bible uses the word disciple. And Jesus called people to come and follow him and be his disciples. So you are supposed to be a disciple. You get to decide what you're a disciple of. We're all disciples. We are all following something or someone. No matter how independent you think you are, you're being formed, you're being shaped, and you're following something. You're all a disciple. Just what are you a disciple of? What are you giving your time to? What's shaping your habits? What's influencing you? I would guarantee that there's some that's in there that's, it's not good. And you certainly are not going to end up being Christ-like. So we talked about last time, the goals of an apprentice, of a disciple following their rabbi in ancient Hebrew times, it would have been to be with your rabbi, be like your rabbi, and do what your rabbi did. And so last time we talked about, for us as being disciples of Christ, it would be being with Jesus, being like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. So we spent time talking about being with Jesus last time, and finding ways, knowing that you're not going to be like Jesus unless you're with Jesus. Finding ways to incorporate into the things that form us, our environment, our habits, our relationships. How do we incorporate time with Jesus in that? You know, start the day. We just gave a couple random examples. You know, start before you jump out of bed in the morning. Just stop. Just take a pause in the morning. Sit up and just take a pause. Or I think it's Stephen. Somebody that I know does this. Before they even uncover, they wake up and then they hit the snooze. And then for that 10 minutes that the snooze is, they spend that moment with Jesus before they even get up and then, you know, read the Word of God or whatever. So it's this intentional finding these little, we all think, don't raise your hand. Just, I'm going to ask and then just don't answer, but just kind of nod. Who has ever started a diet? Who's ever started a new workout program? Who's like, this time I'm going to get healthy, right? And you know, if you're like me, if you know, getting back to the gym, if you're like me, all right. Well, if two sets of squats are better, well, then 17 would be even better than that, right? And if cutting out 500 calories in my diet is good, cutting out 1,500 is better, right? And we just go just roaring into it, and we last about, I don't know, 43 seconds, right? You know, and they're like, and I tried the diet. It just doesn't work for me. And so what I was challenging you with last time on the Be With Jesus, absolutely. We would all love to be like Brother Lawrence, who just finds, I ended with that story about my friend who was reading that book, Slowing Down to the Speed of Joy, who doing dishes, she just found this gateway into the presence of Jesus with the thing that she probably hates most in life. Because she slowed down and she invited the Lord into that moment, right? And so that's what I'm saying. Like, make some use of your time. Just find little doors, little 2 minutes here, little 5 minutes here, and we're hoping for more, right? But we're gonna start small and just find ways to be with Jesus. Find ways to pray continually instead of immediately sending a text complaining to your wife about something. Stop and just bring it to the Lord first, and then complain to your wife later. No, don't do that. But you know what I mean, like. The stimulus is the same. Let's just maybe if we can get one out of five where we just bring it before the Lord. That's what I'm saying. Start small. You got to start somewhere, right? Hopefully you guys this week found maybe one or two different times during the week where you did one of those things. I turned on worship on my drive-in instead of Paul Harvey reruns or I don't know. Does anyone in this place even know who Paul Harvey is anymore? Okay, there's a few of you. Okay. All right. So this time, let's talk about being like Jesus. Let's talk about being like Jesus. We're going to start with a scripture from Luke chapter 6, verse number 40. Says this, a disciple, an apprentice, right, a follower of Christ, is not above his teacher. This is the words of Jesus, right? In some Bibles, this would be read. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully, what? I feel like some of you are with me and some of you are just getting there. Okay? When he is fully what?
Trained.
When he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. This is the words of Jesus. His vision for you is to be fully trained. When he's fully trained, I added a graphic in there just so you know what word I want you to focus on for a second. Right? This is the word of God. It's still the word of God. I added, now it says you're not supposed to add things. That's not what I'm doing. I'm adding graphics, not changing the word of God. Big red arrow there with a red underlined word that's bolded and outlined in yellow. When he's fully trained, he will be, and capital. I went back one more time and I capitalized it just in case you missed all those other signs. It's in all caps. When he's fully trained, he will be like his teacher. If you are not like Jesus right now, if we audited your soul and your actions, your attitudes, and your motives, and the fruit of your life, if you are not like Jesus, then you are not fully trained. He paused as the wave of recognition swept across the crowd, right? If we're not like Jesus yet, is the word I'm going to add in there now. It just simply means you're not. Anyone ever been, you don't have to raise your hands either because I know this would be everyone. If you love Jesus at all, anyone ever been discouraged that you're not more Christ-like? Oh my word. Only on days that ended why? Waiting for a few more. Some of you guys are like, how on Monday? Okay. But we don't have to get discouraged because if we're not Christ-like, it simply means we're not fully trained yet. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. This is an invitation this morning to be like Jesus. And if there's areas of your life that you're not Christ-like, and I may only be talking to one or two people, if maybe some of you have some areas that you're not Christ-like. Does anyone have any areas that you're not Christ-like in? Okay, well, a couple of you. Like three of you are not fully trained yet. The rest of you must be fully trained. But if you're not completely Christ-like in all the areas of our life, then Jesus gave some wonderful words. We can look at these words and it can seem harsh. Or you can look at it how he's intending it. You have the opportunity to get fully trained. But training does not happen unintentionally. When he's fully trained, he'll be like his teacher. So the beautiful news is if you're not like Jesus, you get to be trained, and which is exactly what Jesus called us to. But you don't wake up one morning and be like, hey, honey, but wonder if I got trained last night. She's like, oh, I can tell you, you didn't. Trust me, yeah. If you want an honest opinion, ask your wife. John Markomer says, the aim of a first century apprentice wasn't just to learn the Torah from a smart rabbi, but to learn life from one who had become a master of the Torah, right? I'm not just trying to learn the Bible. I'm not just trying to go to church. I'm trying to learn the life and the way of Jesus to become transformed, right? All the things that we do are not things in and of themselves. All the things that we do have a purpose, and it's to make us, reform us into the image of Christ. It's to unform us from all the garbage, say garbage, all the trash that we collect in our souls, all the wounds, all the shortcomings, all the sin, all the unforgiveness, all the things. Sin is not always just what we've done, it's what's been done to us. Sin, people sin against you as well as you sinning. And all of that leaves tracks on our soul. And so we get formed. And it isn't always pretty, and it never looks like Jesus. And so Jesus is reforming us as we're getting fully trained. And we're learning how to live life. That's what Jesus' first Sermon on the Mount. First time he preached, after he went through preaching, his first message was of repentance, that the kingdom of God is here. Repent, because the kingdom of God is here. And his first teaching, his first sermon, is all on how to thrive, how to live life. And it's the very thing that we fight against the most because it seems backwards. Oh, you want to be first up for the buffet line? Then you need to be last. Because Jesus knows this desire in us. He's like, we need to reframe that. And then let's go with kingdom economics and then give and it will be given to you. If you want to be the greatest, right? We honored Carla this morning, right? Like, let's be great at what we do, but if you want to be the greatest, then you need to place yourself as the least, right? We're not going to go into all that, but the kingdom of God is backwards. But this, Jesus was showing us how to do life, and unless it's really natural for you to be Christ-like, it's not, trust me, right? We need to be trained into that. And Dr. Robert Mulholland said, spiritual formation is a process. Everyone go, process, It's a process of being formed into the image of Christ, listen, for the sake of others. If you don't get that last part, we're missing the most vital chunk of it. It's not for you, it's for us. That's the whole thing that makes it Christ-like. It's not, we're not just being loving so that I'm a more loving person. We're being more loving for others. We're being more godly for others. We're being more humble. Not so I can be more humble. We're being more humble so that you can be more Christ-like for others. Because that's what life is about. I read these slowly because this is intense. Okay, so everyone take a breath. We're diving into a big paragraph here. Spiritual formation is not optional, John Mark says. Every thought you think, every emotion you let shape your behavior. Hold it, pause, push pause. Is there anyone in here that has ever made an emotion-based decision? Okay, nobody? All right. Well, some people do, and it's not very fun. We're teasing now because you all have. Every emotion you let shape your behavior, every attitude that you let rest in your body. Ugh, that's an ugly one. Every decision you make, each word you speak, every relationship you enter into, the habits that make up your days, whether or not you have social media, and if you do, how you use it, how you respond to pain and suffering, how you handle failure or success, all of these things and more are forming us into a particular kind of person, into a particular shape. He goes on, he says this, stasis is not on the menu. That's what I said last week. It's not standing still. It's not on the menu. We're either being transformed into the love and beauty of Jesus or malformed by the entropy of sin and death. You're getting sucked into that black hole, or you're being made more like Jesus, loving and beautiful. He says we become either agents of God's healing and freeing or liberating grace, or, listen, this sentence is so powerful, you guys. We either become agents of God's healing and liberating grace, or carriers of the sickness of the world. I'm going to read it one more time. And a lot of this, it's all new stuff, but a lot of this is kind of repeat. It's because, has anyone ever marinated a piece of meat? You go and you put it, whatever, your sauce, your vinegar, your spices, your liquids, your oil, whatever, and you just put that chicken breast in there, and you're like, oh, that's going to be so good. And you know what? An hour later, you come back, and you flip that thing over, and you make sure all the marinade's getting it. Well, that's a little redundant, isn't it? It's the same marinade. No, because you want it to get in. And that's what, like, it's new content. It's being like Jesus instead of being with Jesus. And there's new quotes and stuff, but this is all is familiar from the last couple of weeks, because I want you to marinate in this. I want you to marinate in, because so often in America, I love Jesus, okay, and then we don't think about God till the next week. And we never become more Christ-like than we were last week, because we never say yes to the process. We never sign up to be an apprentice. I'm a believer, and that's where it starts, and that's great, but Jesus never called believers. No, don't, like, that's not a bad word. Like, we're still going to use that word, and belief is the core of, it's faith. That's what we do, right? But we never submit to the process of becoming more Christ-like. So 8 years later, you're just as self-centered, you're just as greedy, you're just as impatient, you're just as lustful, you're just as unforgiving as you were 8 years ago, but you've loved God well, and it's not an issue of you loving Jesus. You do love Jesus, but the change doesn't just happen with just loving Jesus. It happens through the process of submitting to the Lord and being with Him and becoming like Him and getting formed into how He wants us to think and who He wants us to be. I'm going to read that sentence one more, because you can't just stay in the middle. You're either becoming agents of God's healing and His freeing grace, or you're becoming a carrier of the sickness of the world. To believe otherwise is an illusion. To give no thought to this is to come dangerously close to wasting your life. One more John Comer slide real quick here. Spiritual formation in the way of Jesus is how each of us is formed to be like Jesus, and in doing so, to be our deepest, truest self. The self that I had in mind, that God had in mind when He willed us into existence before time began. Now, a couple weeks ago, I started out with, wait a minute, self is the first thing that's got to go, right? That's the one thing that Jesus unequivocally said, you got sin living in you, you need to deny self, take up your cross, and follow Him, right? That's the introduction to this message. And now we're saying, you're going to find your truest self. Right, it's the self that Jesus intended for you to be. Because here's what's happening. Everyone is broken by sin. How many people are? Is that some or is that all? All. It's all. Everyone. Every single one of us. By sin in us and sin done to us, by our environment, by an evil world that we live in, by pain and suffering. Everyone is broken. And so we all have, all, Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have. We're all broken. So you got to, what do I do with that brokenness? You only have really, you've got some other options, but really three classes of options. What do I do with that brokenness? Because it's eating me alive. I'm not the human that I want to be. What do I do with that brokenness? You're going to either try to prove that you're not broken, or you're going to try to fix yourself in a way that just makes things worse or kills you, or you submit to Jesus and let Him reform your brokenness into the image of Christ and become your truest self. So many of us, and especially in today's society, number one is what you would call society 101 in 2026. We're trying to prove that we're not broken. This is the real me. You need to celebrate this me. And so we have all these desires and malformed, really, because sin is resident in us, and we try to make that normative. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not going to help. So we're going to come up with we're going to plant our feet in the sand, and you might hear things like, well, A lot of people just can't handle me. But I'm good. The problem is you. You can't handle my temper. You can't handle my brokenness. You can't handle how I see the world. You can't, like, the problem is out there. And that's the number one. I don't have them numbered, but the first one. We're trying to prove that we're not broken. Or something is wrong, so I've got to re-identify, because all of this hurt and brokenness in me, then I've got to be a different gender, or some other sexuality is going to fix some brokenness that I have in me, or I've got to say that this is right. And we draw these circles because we're trying so hard to prove that this brokenness that I feel in me is legit. Because if this can't be legit, if you tell me that this isn't legit, well, I'm going to get angry, because then you're saying I'm not legit. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're broken. Or the second thing we do I know that I'm broken, and we try to medicate it with a relationship or with alcohol or with drugs or with money or with pornography or fill in the blanks, more brokenness. And Jesus is saying, I got a cure for that. You've got a condition, and it's terminal. It's called the human condition. And the best thing for you to do is die. Just get it over with. Just die. And I don't mean suicide. I mean die to yourself. Die to the broken things in you. Let Jesus reform you, casting off the sin and letting your spirit come alive in surrender to Jesus and become remade in the image of who the original Jesus wanted you to be. Or the original you, Jesus, not the original Jesus. There's only one. Sounded funny when I said it. That's not how I meant it. The original you. He wants to reform you in his image. So a couple of real quick things about formation. Formation is a long game. Listen, Pastor, I came and I prayed a prayer last week, and then you're like, you know what, or a couple weeks ago, and then I signed up. I'm going to be a disciple, right? You know, I spent some time. I put some worship music on, you know, and it's been 3 weeks, and I'm still kind of selfish. What gives? Right? Formation is, it happens, like the time scale is sort of like, it's like your life, the whole life. How long? How many years? Your whole life. How many do you have? All of them. That's how long formation takes. However many ever years you have, that's how many it takes. It takes all of them. All of them. It's a long game. And it can get frustrating. It can get annoying that I'm not more Christ-like. John Mark says, formation of the human soul doesn't work at digital speed. And like my friend, you have to pull back. You've got to slow down to make an opening for Christ to show up in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of spaces and places, in all kinds of moments in your life. All right, Jesus, we're seeing some stuff we don't like here. All right, come in. Like I did that yesterday, right? All right, Jesus, I'm inviting you in. Let's get this area reformed to look like Jesus. Let's give me the tools that I need to bring things down and lift Jesus up, right? That was part of my process yesterday. The formation of the human soul is less like making an Amazon order, and it's more like growing an orchard. It's Amazon's where you, never mind. It's not really quick. And in our society today, I had this conversation this week with someone. We get so intensive about things need to happen right now. And we've been rewired. Our psyche, our soul, our minds have been rewired by something that's a blessing, our convenience. It's a blessing, but we get rewired to think that God needs to work like that too. And we get frustrated because God doesn't work at that speed. And even if God did work, I mean, he does. He's right. You don't. More importantly, even if God works at the speed of light, you don't. You don't. Physics tells us if you went to the speed of light, every atom would just fly apart in you. So that's too fast. You work at the speed of your soul, and that's a lot slower speed. And it's a lot more like growing an orchard. It's pulling weeds. Wait a minute. I pull these same. Anyone ever pulled the same weed like 50 times? Like, man, these carrots were spotless. Stan, these carrots were spotless yesterday. No, you don't even have carrots that come up. Well, you're going to get mad at that now? You're going to get angry? If you don't know Stan, he doesn't really get angry, so I like to poke him. But we all had some carrot shortages last year, right? Last couple of years, they've been kind of bad. But I don't know what else you grow. Beets. Oh, gross. Beets. Pick the same weeds around your beets 43 times, and they're back again. That's what formation is like. That's what formation is like. It's like pulling weeds in the orchard. It's like, come on, apples. You can do it. You go out there the next day, and you're like, yeah, a little bigger. I got, like, come on. Right? And it's years. You're planning for years. Well, you know, when's the best time to plant an orchard? 20 years ago. Okay, but here's where we fall short. When's the second best time to plant an orchard? Right now. Right? When's the best time to work on your spiritual formation? Years ago. Well, whenever you accepted Christ. Well, I didn't do that. So when's the second best time? Right now. Amen? Right now. Yeah. Look at someone. Say right now. Right now. The second thing, Jesus does the forming when we spend time with him. And all of this can sound like we're doing a lot. We got to submit to the forming. Like, we got to do all these spiritual practices that we'll get into in a couple weeks. Like, we're going to do it. Yeah. But we're signing up for the process, but it's Jesus that does the forming. And these are just like vehicles. These are just tools. It's kind of like saying the road gets you to Fargo. The road doesn't. It's the pathway. That's kind of what these practices are. You got to get the car out on the road, then the car gets you there under its power. Like, we're pushing the gas, but the car's doing all the work. Jesus is doing all the work, but we're saying yes. Our part is to say yes and to make room and include Jesus in our routines and our habits and to continually surrender to God. John Mark says this, formation into the image of Jesus isn't something we do as much as something that's done to us by God himself. As we yield, oh, don't we love the word yield? As we yield to his work of transforming grace. Our job is mostly to make ourselves available. Make yourself available to Jesus. Third thing, this might seem a little self-evident in what we've talked about, but our goal is becoming like Jesus. That's the goal of this, right? The goal isn't to just be a little nicer person. All right, spiritual formation is about just getting, because we can use that a little just like broad-brushed spiritual formation. I'm going to be a little better. I'm going to be a better person. Better than what? I don't know what that means. We have a singular goal. It's to be like Jesus. It's to do life in the way of Jesus. It's to look like him, smell like him, act like him, talk like him. It's to look like Jesus, to carry his nature in us and to see that fleshed out. So goal is being like Jesus. And Marnie definitely is like Jesus. That's not why her picture's up there, though. So we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about Marnie. And when Marnie and I got married, Marnie's food expedition for Marnie was like getting the cinnamon version of the cereal instead of the regular version. And I'm not lying. Cereal and bread. And that's about it. And she just, if you know Marnie, she's list driven. She's like, just accomplish. We're going to accomplish things, right? And so eating doesn't really, if she doesn't write it down, a lot of days she wouldn't even eat. This is a true story. And so I, on the other hand, love food and I have the body to prove it. I love food. I love food adventures. I love being creative. What's that word? And so as we've gone along, Marnie has put up with some of my food adventures. But along the way, she's had her palate opened to a lot of new flavors. I remember the very first time we ever got Indian food on a vacation. My friend is married to a gal from India, and I called him up. I'm like, dude, what do I eat? And it was so scary. And now we love Indian food. We love curry and naans and butter chicken. Makhni, anyone makhni, anybody? Oh, my. It's so good. Well, that was new. Well, Marnie came along for the journey. She wasn't always that excited about it. And the one thing that she didn't like that I loved, Jim and I used to share an office when he was a pastor here, and we had coffee pots, and we had Javalia, and boy, we'd get the European roastery. We'd get big 5-pound bags of coffee. We just loved our coffee. Marnie did not like coffee. She didn't like coffee at all. Just didn't care for it at all. Didn't like it. But she liked me. And I never told her that she should drink coffee because I'm a nice guy. right? But she liked being with me. And she would smell that coffee. And so back in the day, in our Grand Prix, we didn't have any money, but we'd go to Fargo and we'd, you know, split a meal or something and try to keep it cheap. But I'd get a Starbucks on the way home and she'd have some chocolate or whatever. And she'd smell that coffee and she'd go, and I drink black coffee, black as the night. I mean, just midnight, just black, right? And she'd say, can I have one sip? She said, I'm not going to like it, but it smells so good. She said, can I have one sip? She'd take a sip. Right? Because it's strong. Then she'd eat her chocolate. Oh, it's so good with chocolate. And then we'd go home. And driving the gram of gas for 99 cents, and we'd go to Fargo, right? And then the next week, because it was cheap, right? And we got 33 miles to the gallon, so we could go to Fargo like 43 times before we had to fill up again. And so that's what we do. And then Starbucks. And she's like, oh, okay, one drink? Yep, sure. Babe, go ahead. And then we'd be at home, and she'd be like, can I have a little of your coffee? And then she'd get creamer, you know, coffee, creamer. Like, she'd put that much coffee in and then about that much creamer. And she'd have it with her dessert. And she'd drink just a little bit of coffee. I'm like, just have whatever you want. Yeah, that's good. And then life went on more and more. And pretty soon she'd be drinking two or three drinks. I mean, yeah, have whatever you want. Okay, all right. And one fateful day, and it wasn't that many years ago, we were driving through a Starbucks. And she said, honey, can I have one? Like, have one what? A coffee. What kind of coffee? A coffee. Well, I don't know what kind of fancy. No, she said, no, a black coffee. And we pulled the car over, and the angels from heaven came down. They surrounded the vehicle. I was out. I don't remember what happened. It was a couple hours later. She was splashing water in my face, and we went home, and she was drinking. I said, what are you doing? What hast thou brought me, Lord? And so this is from 2 years ago. We're north of Lexington, Kentucky, in the most amazing apple orchard that we've ever been to. That is the best apple cider donut. And trust me, we have had a lot of apple cider donuts. And you know what's in her other hand? It's a cup of coffee. It's a cup of black coffee that she got there. And you know what? Now she looks forward to, and not just any black coffee, but good black coffee. And she loves it. But I didn't force her to have it. You know how she ended up loving it, Jim? She just was around him, just was around me, just became like me, right? And the same thing, and I'm a little sad about this one. She never, ever, 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 ever liked pickles on her sandwich. And I was always so excited when we go to restaurants because I got to eat her pickles. And now she's like, I kind of like that tang on there. I'm like, oh, woman, don't. And the latest two is this last 2025, she has never in her life ever, ever, ever once liked mustard, but I make these pretty amazing sandwiches, and so she just puts on whatever I put on. She's like, that's so good. I'm like, I know. She's like, it's mustard. I'm like, I know. And as recently as last night, it's Tabasco sauce. Because I learned, not because you, I made fun of Jim, because Jim and Dwight and I, Pastor Fearing and I, would used to go to Country Kitchen, and Jim would have eggs, and he would get, can I get some hot sauce? Get some Tabasco sauce over here. And I would laugh at him. I would out loud make fun of you for putting Tabasco sauce on your eggs, on your skillet. Guess who does that now? Well, me, and now by proxy, guess who else does it? Marnie. So what are we saying? It's as you spend time with people, they rub off on you. As you spend time with Jesus, and I promise you, well, we don't have an hour service, but pretend we had an hour service. An hour a week or 2 hours a week or whatever our service is not enough for you to get formed. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's enough to make your pastor happy, right? But it's not enough to form you. You've got 167 other hours or whatever there is in the week that is forming you to be something antichrist. And so we need to have practices in our life that form us into being Christ-like. We said this verse last week. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled faces contemplate, we consider, we think about, we dwell on the Lord's glory, and then we're being transformed into His image. Whose image? The image of who? Jesus, his image with ever-increasing glory. How many want more glory in your life? Come on. Yeah, I've had enough of what's in here already. I want more of God in here. I want more of the Lord's glory. This verse, Romans 8, 29 and 30. It's a new verse for this week. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to go to church. Nope. He chose them to what? Become like his son. So that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Having chosen them, he called them to come to him, be close to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them glory. All right, a couple more longer slides from John Mark again. These are so good, though. If you want to chart your progress on the spirituality journey, test the quality of your closest relationships, namely by love and the fruit of the Spirit. Would the people who know you the best say that you're becoming more loving, more joyful, and more peaceful? Would the people that know you best, the people that love you the most, the people that are closest in your life, would they say that you're becoming more patient or less patient? Less frustrated or more frustrated? The people that are closest in your life, would they say that you are kinder, gentler, softening with time, pervaded or saturated by goodness? Would they say that you're faithful, especially in hard times, and that you're self-controlled? Are you growing in love, not just for your friends and family, but for your enemies? Oh, Jesus, help us. And that's not just a joke. I mean literally in America right now in this moment. Jesus, help us. Are you growing in love for your enemies? Because if you're not, you're not becoming more Christ-like. And guess what? It just means you need to be more fully trained. We need to be more with Jesus to become more like Jesus. And he goes on, he says, because that wasn't enough. That poking wasn't enough. He's just going to poke a little harder. John says, when you're hurt, wounded, treated unjustly, as we all are you finding yourself increasingly able to emotionally release the bitterness and absorb the pain and not give it back in kind? Are you finding it easier to pray for and even bless those who curse you? And his last line, this is the most important one. And is all of this feeling more and more natural and less forced? More and more like this is, quote, just who you are? Because that's what becoming like Jesus is. It's not just our actions becoming like Jesus. They do, but it's our insides. It's one thing to know a thing, right? You guys all know that you should eat healthier or whatever. It's another thing to do a thing, right? And it's a whole nother thing to want to do a thing. And that's what Jesus does. He doesn't just change our knowing things or our doing things. He changes our wanting to do things. He gives us new desires because he reforms us. Christ-likeness, it's possible, but it's not natural. Last slide. We're going to end with this one. Last slide as John Mark closes us out here. He says this. Jesus' invitation to apprentice under him, it's not just a chance to become people of love who are like God. It's a chance to enter into the inner life of God himself. The ancients, the old writers, called this union with God. They called it union with God. And it's the very meaning of our human existence for me and for every human on the planet, whether they realize and receive it or not. It's the goal of God. This then is spiritual formation, the process of being formed into a person of self-giving love through the deepening surrender to and the union with the Trinity. It's finding ways to invite Jesus to be close to you and doing the things, putting those things into practice that we'll talk about, you know, scripture and meditation and fasting and church and worship and prayer and intercession and like all of the silence, like all of those things. They're all ways of life that Jesus showed us to chip away at the old nature and to present the new way of doing life that Jesus showed us. And not just doing, being, the new way of being. It's the new way of being. It's a new, you're becoming like Jesus. Amen? Whew! You guys were on it today. Thanks for being a great participant in this topic today. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this amazing group of people that are saying yes to Jesus right now. We are saying yes. We want to be followers, not just believers. We want to walk in your ways, God, and we just want to find ways where we line up our habits and our environment and the relationships around us and open doors to Jesus to reshape us into the image of Christ. I pray for blessings. We pray for anybody that's still struggling with sickness, whether they're here or not, if they're a part of this church, God, that you would heal their bodies and let them be zealous for God and filled with energy. And we pray for the power of Jesus to show up in profound ways in our midst today. Give us a blessed week, and may the right Super Bowl team win. In Jesus' name, amen.